boys, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. Our readers are in the opens each day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Navel Gazing, the Valley Indie Podcast. My name is Eugene Driscoll. I'm a reporter with valleyindie.org. That is an online nonprofit newspaper I launched, well, back in those days, it was we, in June 2009. I think I took the job in April 2009. By the way, I'm an employee here. There's this impression that I'm the owner. Just for the record, I'm an employee of the nonprofit. The Online Journalism Project also puts out the New Haven Independent is my employer. That's neither here nor there. By the way, the intro music, The Bad Slugs, Google Bad Slugs, or look them up on Facebook to buy their album. It is a collection of Hearst, Connecticut journalists who formed a band. So today's a solo episode. I wanted to take a few minutes to go over some of my reporting regarding an application from Derby Downtown LLC to build apartments on Factory Street in the Derby Redevelopment Zone. But before I do that, I just want to take a moment to read a message from my sponsor, valleygivesback.org. The best gift builds a better tomorrow. Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. Making a gift that costs nothing during your lifetime is easy and revocable if things change. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action will inspire others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. All right, so last night was Tuesday, November 19th, if I'm not mistaken. Wow. Early happy Thanksgiving. And Derby Downtown LLC made a number of submissions, application submissions, to the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, including a site plan to build 215 apartments along with some 8,000 square feet of commercial space at 23 Factory Street, which is off Main Street in downtown Derby. The commercial space would be on the first floor of these structures. I think they were 3 to 4 floors. I'm not 100% certain on that. Also, the gentleman I interviewed who represented the developer last night, Carl Nilsson of Zoning Info CT LLC. He said it's more like 6,000 square feet of commercial space, so just throwing that out there. But what we're talking about here is basically next to and behind the former Life Touch property on Main Street, which is still privately owned, by the way. It's not a part of this development application. According to a letter from Christopher J. Smith, the lawyer representing Downtown Derby LLC, the project will include 192 one-bedroom apartments, 14 two-bedroom apartments, four two-bedroom townhouse dwellings slash apartments. Wasn't exactly sure what the difference was there, but that's what was written, and 5 studio apartments. There are a number of public hearings that will be scheduled for the December meeting of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, at which time the commission will be going over the nitty-gritty details of this proposal. And that includes everything from landscaping to parking to lighting to access for emergency vehicles. City staff weighs in on this, like the fire marshal takes a look at the plans, the building inspector, Derby's consultants, planning consultants, they all get a crack at it. And the commission is next scheduled to meet December 17th. The meetings usually start at 7 p.m. And they're open to the public. So you can watch, you can talk during the public portion. As I smack my microphone, show up. They'd like to see people there. I think there's one member of the public not connected to the project and who wasn't a reporter last night. So I thought I would take a moment now to go over some of the reactions Valley Indie Facebook readers had when I posted this story after the meeting late Tuesday night. The first comment was from, and I'm stealing this from Paul Bass and the New Haven Independent. They have a radio station over there, WNHH LP FM in the city of New Haven. And they also stream all their shows live on Facebook. And they do reacting to the readers, where they take out comments from the stories they receive from readers and read them on the air. It's kind of cool. So check it out if you ever get a chance. And I'm ripping them off. All right. So Diane Freibarger Lamaro, sorry if I'm butchering your name. She says, and we'll be talking about it still in another 60 years. Then Ken Dubrava, the second person to comment, said, agree. And we all know these cartoons, in all caps, are tied to zero, with capital Z, action from make-believe characters. So the comments from Diane and Ken, I think, reflect the deep skepticism among people whenever the New Haven Register or the Connecticut Post or the Valley Indie report on anything happening in Derby's redevelopment zone. And by the way, that's the 14 acres on the south side of Main Street between Main Street and the Housatonic River, stretching from the Derby Shelton Bridge all the way to basically the Route 8 North on-ramp, roughly. And the reactions from Ken and Diane are understandable. Just Google Derby redevelopment zone. And there are plenty of articles over the years in which public officials and business people promised large-scale projects, none of which have come to fruition, obviously. In addition, a few developers came before the Derby Redevelopment Agency with conceptual drawings, none of which got off the ground. I think the bottom floor, the basement area of Derby, is littered with the hopes and dreams of past conceptual designs for the redevelopment zone there. And just some examples. In 2010, this is the first paragraph from a New Haven Register article. And I reported these same things, so I'm not bashing the New Haven Register. The city is negotiating with a California developer interested in giving downtown a multi-million dollar facelift, and shovels could be in the ground within 18 months. That was 2010. 2011, Connecticut Post. It seems the city plans for the city's downtown redevelopment are on track, with the announcement last week that Eclipse Development Group has lined up the business and financing needed for the project. Everything is good to go, Douglas Gray, Eclipse CEO, said Friday. So that's happened again and again and again and again. Obviously, when people read about the redevelopment zone, they remember those articles. And I think people tune out to some extent. But, and this isn't my opinion, I know people get a little antsy and uncomfortable when reporters like weigh in on their stories, but I think part of the job is you're supposed to be able to sort of connect some dots and point out some things, right? Because you're sitting in all these meetings for 10 years, why not? But the difference, I think, between those past proposals and the one proposed Tuesday is that the developer Tuesday night actually submitted a site plan to the city for the city to review. That's a formal commitment to the project saying, here's our plan, literally. So they've invested money beyond just the pretty pictures and the promises that we've heard over and over again in the redevelopment zone. The other thing that makes this different on a factual basis from any previous proposals from at least the past 10 years, and I only know the last 10 years, anything before 2009, I apologize, that was before I was here. But a property owner, specifically the Berettas, own the property where Housatonic Lumber used to be. That's where they want to build this. They have partnered with the Lepore brothers, that's developers out of Burlington, to form the Derby Downtown LLC. Previously, from what I saw and things that were talked in Derby Redevelopment Agency meetings from 2009 on, developers needed to acquire land to make something happen in the redevelopment zone. And there were these large-scale projects that were being proposed that encompassed the whole 14 acres. So we were seeing pretty pictures, as the readers on Facebook pointed out. But it was really the hopes and dreams of the developers, you know, hindsight being 2020, because they did not own the land on which to build these pretty things. Now you have developers with skin in the game. They own the 3 acres under consideration. So that's a big difference. They submitted a site plan. They own the land. And just for the record, I'm not mentioning Seruzi Development. They were in the redevelopment zone prior to the existence of the Valley Indie. So I'm not prepared to talk about that one, just so people who know the history. I'm not leaving it out. When I came to the Valley Indie, Derby was in the process of being sued by Seruzi, and they ended up settling for, I think, over $1 million. It was in the article I wrote. Anyway, so back to the Facebook comments reacting to this downtown Derby story. Chris Regan, she commented, with no parking. I asked the person, Mr. Nilsson, who was representing the developer Tuesday night at Derby P&Z about parking, and he said they have enough for what they want to do. I also saw documentation, I believe it was in a letter from an attorney representing the LLC/developer there. It calls for 282 parking spaces. If you're not familiar with the area, I mean, Factory Street on one side, you know, you have where Life Touch is, then you have where Housatonic Lumber was, now it's Beretta Gardens and Landscaping. Then across the street, you have nothing but parking. I'm not sure if the parking, I put an email to City Hall early today. I'm not sure what's going to happen to all that parking that's across the street. If there's some, I don't want to talk about it, but there is parking there. I'm not prepared to talk about it because I don't have the facts. You know, when I drive by there every day, there's actually more broken beer bottles and weeds than anybody parking there right now. So you would think maybe that's something that can be used. I mean, I believe it's a public lot. I don't know. I'm not prepared to talk about it. But parking is one of those things that's the job of the Planning and Zoning Commission. If there's not enough parking or the parking's an issue, it's their job to bring it up and to deal with it. And from my observations of the Derby P&Z for the last 10 years, it's not a rubber stamp agency. I think it's safe to assume, I mean, this project is something people in Derby government would like to see succeed, only because if you drive down, what do we have or what do they have along Main Street right now in Derby? Knock down buildings and empty space. I think it's safe to assume, without showing bias or inserting opinion or putting words into people's mouth, that the government wants to see something else down there, whether it be mixed use or commercial or living space for people. So anyway, parking of those things, that'll be under the purview of the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission, who meet the third Tuesday of every month, by the way. I mean, just to talk about the land across from Factory Street, it's that parking lot, the parking area is so underused there that someone abandoned a crane there a couple of years ago. A crane was just sitting out there for months and months and months. So we'll see what happens there. Michael Lewis says 282, referring to the parking spaces, certainly doesn't seem like enough for 215 apartments. Many of the one bedroom will likely be utilized by couples, then add visitors and patrons for the first four floor businesses. Again, that's something for the P&Z to review. I think when I looked at the conceptual drawings, to pick up pretty pictures again, it looks like they're modeling what they're doing directly on what's happening on Howe Avenue across the street in Shelton, where these things have worked and been successful. Though parking and traffic can be an issue. Angela Basso says, probably all Section 8 too. That's a common comment when housing is proposed, multifamily, especially anywhere in the Valley. Among the first questions I asked Mr. Nilsson after the P&Z meeting ended Tuesday night was, are these going to be market rate? And he said, yes. In previous representations about this project, this development company has been kicking around Derby and in City Hall and at P&Z meetings pretty much since day one of Mayor Zekin's administration. You know, last night's submission was not a surprise. There's articles going back a couple of years. But as Nick D'Antona, reader, pointed out on Facebook, in 2018, the Post reported one of the consultants, Mr. Ralston, I believe his name was, reported that the rents in the apartments would range anywhere, depending on how many bedrooms, from $1,200 to $2,700. They're gearing these, are going to market these towards millennials, because that's what everybody who builds an apartment does, and you know, that's what they do, I guess, making anywhere between $50,000 and $100,000. So more on par. Oh, that was a Section 8. So that's the you know, you can't, Section 8 is, there are legal things there. So, all right. So Tom Lionetti, a longtime Derby resident and an active participant as a member of the public in what happens at Derby meetings. He attends a lot. He says, look at all the negative comments. What is wrong with you people? Let's see what happens. Give them a chance. You should be happy that they at least started the ball rolling. So Tom's saying, look at the bright side. Victor Spigarolo. I hope I'm pronouncing your last name correct, Victor. If not, I apologize. And he makes an interesting point. Until Route 34 through town is completed, it is rather pointless to plan or approve any development. You don't even know what the state is going to do. Don't say they have a plan, because past history with CTDOT has proven they change plans right up to the day the new roads are finished paved. Just look at Route 8 and Route 15. They changed those plans for 20 years. And yeah, I mean, Route 34, I asked that of the developer, or the developer's representative, Mr. Nilsson, Tuesday night, immediately after the P&Z meeting, during which these plans were formally handed in. There was no discussion. They were just accepted. And I asked Carmen DiCenzo, who is the City of Derby's economic development liaison, what about Route 34? Because every time I write about a project in the redevelopment zone, comments like Mr. Spigarolo's are posted. You know, what about 34? Can any of this be done until the 34 project is actually happening? And the Route 34 widening project, because there have seemed to be so many different start dates, or it's in this phase, it's in that phase, hop on one leg and I can give you an answer next week about when's it going to start. People have clearly grown skeptical, at least at the people who communicate with me on the Valley Indies Facebook page. This is just a reflection of the facts of the things I read, like those ambassadors at the impeachment hearings. I'm just telling you what they say. Don't get mad at me, state. But anyway, I asked Mr. DiCenzo about it, and he said, we just had a meeting, and I believe he meant, I don't know who he had a meeting with. I should have followed up, but I think it was somebody from the state. It could have been NVCOG, too. But he said the Derby had a meeting this week about the Route 34 Main Street widening project. This was the last paragraph of the article. And Mr. DiCenzo, quote, said, we were told that the bids for construction are going out in April. So that's, we got to get through the winter, April. That means within a month or two of that, they should start. And by start, he means shovel in the ground. He's saying that according to what the DOT has been telling the City of Derby and Derby City Hall and Mr. Carmen DiCenzo, the city's economic development liaison, that there should be a shovel in the ground for that project in the spring of 2020. So, I mean, another thing that's different, just to wrap this up, just speaking factually, although this one I might be stepping over the line a little bit, but it's analysis. It's not opinion, it's analysis. Rich Zekin, the mayor at Derby, didn't do, you know, the pre-election day photo op saying, hey, here are the developers. They want to put something over there. Which is, he probably could have, because this was coming. This was supposed to be, it was to be proposed last month, but the project also requires some zone tweaking. And this is, I'm not going to get into all that because you have to read the article. I don't want to butcher it. But essentially, the city created a PDD regulation in their zoning, and this is a PDD project. But they needed to tweak it because the way the zoning was written, it would actually exclude this project. They had some language issues that they have to clear up. And as I said all that, I just forgot what I was talking about. Oh, so anyway, theoretically, Mayor Zekin, see, that's why I don't want to bring that up. It just, you get into a zoning vortex. Mayor Zekin could have done the photo op last month saying, here we go. He could have done that with Big Y, actually, right before the the election, but it's interesting to note that he did not. And I think that's because, I mean, based on interviews I did last month with Andrew Backlick, his chief of staff, is that the city isn't saying, all right, we're not really looking to pat ourselves on the back about this. We just want this to happen. And we need development in the redevelopment zone. And we have developers who are here, who are serious, who've been with us now for 2 years getting this project ready. And they're ready to go. So I'm sure that, you know, there'll be, I would assume there'll be an announcement formally of some kind coming from City Hall. But, you know, in the past, I think readers also got very cynical about these week before an election announcements regarding the redevelopment zone. So that didn't happen this time. And one could argue, hey, there was a formal site plan. They could have done it last night. Even last night, it wasn't like there was a, this was a very quick meeting. It was only like 15 minutes. They just accepted the application and that was that. So it's not fanfare happening. That's that. I think all that being said, I mean, could this all fall apart in the next couple of weeks? Could they get approved? Could the city, the P&Z could reject it? Yeah, maybe they'll say, we don't want this. That's one of the things that could happen. Nothing's written in stone yet. Another thing that could possibly happen, I don't know. There's a million things that could happen. They could get approved and never build it. That's happened in the 20 years I've been covering different municipalities. Sometimes that happens. But you can't deny the fact that this is the first time a serious site plan, you know, it's a serious development plan, is now under consideration in the Derby redevelopment zone, albeit 3 acres of the 14. But what's happening is what's happening. I think, and I didn't put this in the article because, you know, I wanted to get to sleep. But one of the potential stumbling blocks of the whole thing is the scrapyard. There's a large, I guess, prosperous scrapyard in the corner of the property, essentially next to where these nice luxury apartments, or not luxury, but you know what I mean, market rate apartments would be built. And I did ask, is that an impediment? Because I had heard by going to all these meetings that that's one of the things when you go to get finance for these projects, people look at it and see a scrapyard and say, well, how I'm going to give you money to build this thing and people are going to be living next to a scrapyard. Carmen DeCenzo, I asked both Mr. Nilsson and Carmen DeCenzo there. Mr. Nilsson confirmed that, yeah, it's not great to have that right there. And Carmen said, as the city has said, Zekin's office has said several times, they are trying to deal with the scrapyard in the corner, whose name escapes me at the moment. I thought there was a name change, so I don't want to name it and then get it wrong. But that's a potential stumbling block for people out there who are, you know, curious. This isn't a done deal. It has to go through a process first. So that's it. I just thought I would take a few minutes to do that, sort of unprepared, and tackle some of the questions that I was seeing on Facebook. And I do appreciate the comments. Maybe sometimes it doesn't seem like I do because I can snap at people. You know what I mean? Like you write something and somebody asks you a question, you kind of take it like, oh, all right, leave me alone. I meant to put that in there. But actually the questions that I've gotten for the last 10 years about Derby's redevelopment zone are the questions that I then go and ask the developer and Derby public officials. So please keep the questions coming. And by the way, oh, thank you all, or at least everyone who purchased a Valley Indy t-shirt. I wanted to raise about $300. I'm sorry, $600. No, I spent $600 on the election November 5th. We had like five freelancers, $100 a pop, bought pizza, spent $70 to have a podcast transcribed, the Seymour Community Center one, the hour-long podcast I did with Kurt Miller about their questions on their ballot. So I sold $300 in ads walking into the November 5th election, and then we raised about another $500 from those t-shirt sales. So I truly appreciate your support, and as I choke to death, I better say, see you next time.
For hundreds of years, we brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clue. Profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. readers are in the opens each day. Online clickbait, a prurient way. It's free information here to stay. Not even hookers give it away. Advertising, metastasizing. Newsroom shrinking, constant attrition. We'll ride the dinosaur. We'll ride the dinosaur. Headlines, bylines, pictures too. An editorial comment for a buck or two. Fire down the block, the murder next door. And now we wonder what it's all for. Social media coming free to your funny pages. The mayor's wages, criminal seats, corruption schemes. Ink state wretches asking tough questions. We'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur. The presses are running all through the night. We're printing the truth with all of our might. We're platform agnostics, got that interweb too. Buy an ad, see what we can do. We'd still have subscribers, still have our fans. We're here every day, so give us a chance and we'll make an art stand. Just hold us in your hand. Yeah, we'll ride the dinosaur. Yeah, ride the dinosaur.